Oh God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in seventh grade, I started singing choir for the first time. And we were getting ready to practice. We've been practicing, and you know, like we did. And in my choir, it was a small school, so it was more like an ensemble. My class at that time, I had about 12 kids in my class, and then so it's small school, very small school. And we did the first, I think our concert was like on a Saturday or Friday, and so our started working with the risers. How do you get on the risers, all 10 of you? And I'm on the back riser, and we start to sing, and the world just got dark, and I went off the back. And so from that point forward, as a seventh grader, about 13 years old, I was known as the Kevin that fell off the risers. Because there's a bunch of Kevins in the school. There's Kevin Lynn, Kevin John, Kevin Wilson, Kevin. And I was Kevin Lynn, who fell off the risers. About a whole lifetime forward, so add another 20 years to that age, I'm preaching at a funeral in that small town. Now, interestingly, being raised up as a priest within your own community, you end up preaching in your own community, and then people that hadn't heard you or didn't know you're a priest come to a funeral, and then you have what happened to me. A fifth grade teacher comes to me and said, "You sure have come a long way since you fell off of a riser." I'm 30 years older. Of course I have. So that was me being known as the kid from a dad who was a mechanic for agriculture and a mom who was a secretary for the elevator, worked for my granddad, and the Kevin that fell off the back of the riser. In our gospel lesson, we see the same kind of thing, don't we? We hear Jesus saying, "I am the bread," and then people around say, "Wait a minute, you're the boy, the son of a carpenter. We know who you are. We didn't see you come down from heaven like the manna in the wilderness to feed our ancestors. How can you say that?" Well, that made me start thinking quite a bit about that. Kind of association as well. But what does that mean? In John, there's seven places where Jesus starts the phrase, "I am." He says, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the true vine." What does that mean? And one could actually assert your name at the beginning of it. For instance, "For Kevin, I am the bread of life. For Kevin, I am the light of the world. For Kevin, I am the door. For Kevin, I am the good shepherd. For Kevin, I am the resurrection, the life. For Kevin, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine." If you ever want to understand a personal relationship with Christ, go to the book of John, find these, and put your name in front of them. It starts becoming personal. But still, what does that mean? How do we experience that? Jesus saying, "I am the bread, you should never hunger. How do I experience that? When you learn something, you read it, you apply it, and you experience it. You practice it. Well, now we've heard it. Now what? What's next? Well, how do we experience this? We experience it through our relationship with each other. There's times when I'm at a low, low point in my spiritual growth and understanding of God, and some of you may lift me up. There's times I might be pretty high, and some of you might be lower, and we lift you up. And it works that way in relationship, through a community. We experience this with one another, through one another, the bread of life. Does that make sense? It's interesting to think of it as a community, because it's not just about going home after work, opening the Bible, reading this in my room, thinking about praying to God, closing the book, and then coming out back to my secular world. It's about experiencing it within the world, bringing it into the world, you bringing it and sharing it with me, us sharing it with the world. That's how it works. Some of you, I'm not big in social media, even though I did do some posts on Facebook last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks, I've been in London, and I came back Friday. But I was able to, the weekend before, go to St. Paul's Cathedral and sit and just think. Now, it's a busy cathedral because it's also a place that people like to come and look and visit and wander around, and it's real noisy. And if you want to wander around, you pay £20 and you can wander around. So I just really wanted just to be rejuvenated. I wanted to be received and I wanted to just sit there. But you could do that. But I went ahead and paid £20 because I may wander around. So I went to the sanctuary and I sat. And I sat as quietly as I could. But I listened to the people walking around me. Conversations over here. Well, you know, sister so-and-so, and conversation over here. Well, my brother doesn't. And then looking up at that big dome in the sanctuary got me thinking, because at the highest point were the apostles. The highest point were the gospels. The next one were the apostles, and then Jesus was on another tier lower. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because I would have thought Jesus to be at the highest point and then work your way down. But as I started looking more around St. Paul's Cathedral, I noticed that it was more about community. As you walk in through the narthex, you can see two crosses on each side of the sanctuary. And they're crosses, you can make the image of the cross, but they're ships in all the parts of the cross. And those ships represented people that battled and fought there in England, or who sailed away, or sailed there. They represented people. And as I look around that Anglican church, it was more and more about people, about the community, about how this works. How does Christianity keep on thriving through the years? One of my strongest scores in my canonical examination was history. And if you go back to history, we as a mankind have tried to do everything we could to squelch out Christianity. But it keeps going. And it keeps going because of the relationship we have with one another. It keeps going because of this family. It keeps going because of this church. Not the building, not that beautiful cathedral I sat in, but because of each other. The church through each other, its own membership. That's why it keeps going. That's what Jesus was meaning when he says, I am the bread. You shall never hunger. You should never suffer. You should never be in want or need, because through me, you'll be fed. Through us, as vessels of Christ, we feed the world with his love. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be in a relationship in this church, the Christian church. So where are you? Are you still remembered as the boy or the Kevin that fell off the riser? Or have you grown to something different? I suspect you've grown to something different. Does the world know that? Does the world know who you are today as opposed to who you were not so many years ago? When we lift somebody up today, it might be that very same person that lifts us up tomorrow. Be that new voice. Be that vessel. Be part of that bread, not just the Eucharist, but bread that Jesus brings to us every day through his love. And take it to the world. Amen.